helping neurotypical, neurodiverse marriages. Marriages where a spouse is on the autistic spectrum. Again, I've not really heard this conversation. There's not many resources when we deal with the spectrum and faith. I'm excited to see what David and Kayla are cooking up with that. I think the challenges in a marriage where one partner is neurotypical, the other is neurodiverse, are some of the greatest challenges. Because when we come down to relationships, when we come down to marriage, the number one issue is communication. And this situation makes for some of the most challenging communications. And so I wanted to have this conversation about how they have weathered the storm and how she's helping others, because I believe it's something that can then shed light into all of our marriages and relationships.
Our children are leaving the faith in droves.
As a result.
Oh, I got a pause here.
We're going live right now.
How can we raise our kids to stand firm, have a faith that lasts, and navigate such a time as this?
Capital has just been.
To turn the nation, you have to take the next generation.
Today in the news, COVID-19 numbers.
I'm Jake McCandless, and this is my podcast, Stand Firm Parents. We're working together to help our children have a faith that lasts.
And now, here's Jake McCandless.
Yep, I'm Jake McCandless. This is Stand Firm Parents. I am in LifeWord Studios. And how about we tackle the number one question I see come up in Christian parenting groups on Facebook? It's the number one question I hear asked. And it really seemingly has nothing to do with parenting, though it may have everything to do with parenting. That I'm not sure if that made any sense. Maybe you know what I'm talking about here and where I'm trying to say. Because we're going to talk about marriage. Everything we seem to talk about as we're talking about helping our families have a faith that lasts always comes back to us. We can't ask our children to do what we're not doing. We talk about the 3E strategy, that we first expose them to our faith, our walk with the Lord. Then we help them see the experience and experience our walk with the Lord. And then we help give them an endeavor, a spiritual adventure on their own. But our walk with the Lord, our interaction with their kids, and our passing down our walk with the Lord to our kids all hinges on our relationships, our marriages, our situations, and regardless of where you're at in that, it all comes down to our relationships, whether that's our marriage, whether that's as a single parent working with, co-parenting with an ex, a single parent on her own, single parent entering the dating world and parenting, all of that forms the foundation on which we're able to parent from. Not excluded in any way. And I think you will agree that in our relationship situation, if there's not peace, if we're struggling, then it's hard to even walk with the Lord. It's hard to be our best selves, and therefore it's hard to be a parent. And so one of the things I want to constantly be doing with this podcast is, one, we're taking parenting kind of to the next level, really, because we're talking about doing something that's not really happening. As we're talking about anywhere from 20% to 45% of children actually stay in the faith after they leave Christian homes. And so we're talking next level parenting, and we're going to do that because that's what the focus is. But we got to make sure we're coming back and we're hitting the foundational parts of our life, our walk with Christ and our families. And of course, that is our relationships. That is our marriages. So to do this, I brought in a special guest, a friend of mine. I'm excited about this conversation. And probably when we're talking about marriage, I'm always going to bring a guest in. I think I shared with you that about my unofficial minor in marriage and family ministry, how that when I was in seminary, college and seminary, I was looking at, okay, I want to do like family ministry, that type work. And then I did my first marital counseling session. I'm like, nope, I'm out. I want nothing to do with this. And it's crazy how God brings things full circle. And so definitely not going to talk as authority on that subject. So I'll probably always have a guest. So we're going to go with two parts, actually two different episodes, because my guest wears multiple hats. We're going to let her put one hat on for this episode, and in the following episode, we'll have her put on another hat, but we'll continue to talk about marriage just from some different perspectives. And honestly, I have not heard really any interview, conversation, or seen content on this, partly where we're going today. And so I think it's a really cool opportunity. And I know this may not fit everyone's situation, but I think we all can learn from this. And so my guest today is a good friend of mine, Kayla Norris, who is also responsible for me really even doing this podcast. I'll come back to that. But me and my wife are good friends with David and Kayla. So Kayla has a marketing business, and that's what we're going to talk about in the next episode. But she is also beginning a ministry helping neurotypical, neurodiverse marriages. Marriages where a spouse is on the autistic spectrum. Again, I've not really heard this conversation. There's not many resources when we deal with the spectrum and faith. I'm excited to see what David and Kayla are cooking up with that. I think the challenges in a marriage where one partner is neurotypical, the other is neurodiverse, are some of the greatest challenges. Because when we come down to relationships, when we come down to marriage, the number one issue is communication. And this situation makes for some of the most challenging communications. And so I wanted to have this conversation about how they have weathered the storm and how she's helping others, because I believe it's something that can then shed light into all of our marriages and relationships. Because let's just face it, relationships are difficult, no matter what they are, and especially marital relationships. So my guest, Kayla Norris, lives in Arkansas and is a wife, dog mom, and entrepreneur passionate about neurotypical and neurodiverse marriages. After learning that her husband David was on the autism spectrum in 2021, the two have gone through great lengths to heal and restore their marriage, and by the grace of Jesus, after years of hurt and miscommunication, now they're focused on helping other couples do the same. By simply telling her story of hope to women in similar situations, she's able to help them see that they don't simply have to survive their marriages, but they can thrive and find true joy and happiness in their marriages. Kayla owns a marketing agency by day and spends her nights and weekends with her friends and family, often debating the finer points of theology. A Celebrate Recovery veteran, she also enjoys providing vocals to her local CR worship band. Her favorite tiny human is her nephew, Henry. So before I bring Kayla on, I've got a surprise. So we're talking marriage, and in the next episode, I've asked her to blend marriage and her marketing mind as we look at how the algorithm in our social media feed is not necessarily a friend towards our marriages. But as I teased, Kayla is responsible for me really doing this podcast and partnering with LifeWord, which is incredible. And so as we became friends with her and David, I met with her and she came on board to really help me make this transition from just talking prophecy to then coming alongside parents and helping families have a faith that lasts. She's responsible for our new logo. She's responsible for our colors. She's responsible for a lot of this. And I've got some incredible results I've not shared with her yet. So I'm going to surprise her and throw her off right off at the bat with this great news. I wanted to share this to you live without any prep, without any warning. So I partnered with LifeWord. We're in the LifeWord studios. We are now 4 episodes have come out video-wise on the Stand Firm platforms. LifeWord is also running them as well. And so 2 episodes have come out. One came out this week. The first one had 13,000 views, which was incredible. You know, that was awesome to see. But then, drum roll, the second episode that came out this week, just 3 days out, and we're sitting at 279,000 plays.
Oh my God, I'm such a proud marketing mama right now.
I didn't want to like give this away or anything in our pre-conversation because I wanted to get your raw reaction to that.
I'm seriously super proud about that. Yeah, I have to share the story. I have to stop you and share the story about the logo change.
I don't know. I've got editing power, so I don't know.
Okay. I just remember us sitting down and me looking at your initial branding and everything was black and red. Just saying like, hey, Jake, let's just talk about that for a second. Like black and red, those are the colors of Satan.
But I love them. And I told you that I had met with a business coach like 7 years before when I launched Stand Firm, and he told me, these colors, Jake, they've got to go. That's not going to work. And 7 years later, you finally convinced me.
Hey, you laid the groundwork. I just pulled you home.
But just incredible, just the power of life words. So the 13,000, so for 20 episodes, audio only, our podcast had gotten around the 15,000 downloads, which I was happy about. And our first episode on the LifeWord platforms gets that many. And this second one, again, just 3 days out, we're nearly at 280,000 plays, which is just absolutely incredible. So shout out, Kayla, thank you for that.
Well, you're doing the work. All I told you, all I gave you was the strategy, and the execution is like 99% of the battle. So good job.
Yeah, you've got to know what to do. But so we're going to talk a little bit about your marketing guru-ness, and so people know they need to listen in as we do that. But we're going to have a little bit of different conversation because, as I shared in your bio, you and David are tackling a new ministry, which I'm really excited about, and I hope we get to share a lot of that here on Stand Firm Ministries and Stand Firm Parents Podcast. But so, Kayla, you are working with spouses in very difficult situations. Can you tell us a bit about what you're doing?
Yeah. So, you know, it's not a true formal ministry in the sense of, you know, it's any organized effort yet. I'm hoping that it does become that. It has just happened so organically, essentially sharing my own story of, you know, from darkness to light with people. So my husband and I, we have been married, it'll be 12 years next month. And that is not for lack of us trying to destroy it. So the fact that we are still here is truly by the grace of God and just us making the choice to draw to Jesus as a couple. So it'll be 3 years ago this fall, we learned that my husband was on spectrum, and the autism spectrum. And that was so eye-opening. I had seen the signs of that for, you know, the previous 9 years of our marriage, but I didn't, that's a hard thing to say to someone. And he's so brilliant. My husband is like genius levels of brilliance that I questioned it, you know, I questioned if I was right about that. So once
let me interrupt you, just so everybody knows how genius level he is. He's just graduated from law school, working with the law. I don't know the right term to use there, but he's, you know, working in the legal aspect. And then he just has had a book come out, which I'm sure we'll get to as well, working on another one. So when you say genius, it's legit. It's legit. Okay,
He really is that smart. No, he really is that smart. And it's so funny. Like, I feel like our friends around us, they test his knowledge all the time. Like, they literally just treat him like a Google. It's like a Google search. It's so funny. It's fun for me. I'm so used to it. But then to see other people around us go, you know, it cracks me up. So yeah, so having that information, it really changed the course of our marriage. It helped give me so much grace and understanding for why things were the way they were between us. Also, it validated me and where I had been. I'm not crazy. Our marriage did have additional challenges. So once we you know, went through a year of wrestling with that, struggling with it, processing, talking all of it out, getting, you know, appropriate help from outside resources and just drawing to the Lord through that, I decided to join some groups on Facebook and start being open about what I was going through. And what I didn't expect was to meet so many other women who were in my situation and banging their heads against the wall. The divorce rate for neurotypical, neurodivergent couples is about 85%. Wow. compared to the divorce rate for, you know, the standard like American divorce rate, which is still not great. It's like 50%, right? Yeah. It's still really high, but we are in the minority of couples who make this work. I wouldn't be surprised if the numbers were even higher than that, because actually getting a diagnosis, especially as an adult, is harder to do. It's just because it's expensive. And
really, this is becoming a new challenge because, and I may be wrong with that, but my understanding, we really having the, I guess, new wave of autism become adults. And then, you know, that's becoming seemingly more prevalent in our country, in our society and things. Is that right to say? Is that fair to say?
You know, I'm not sure that it's new in terms of like genetically or that there hasn't been autism throughout the course of history. But I do think that we have finally put a name to it.
Yeah.
You know, we can identify that. I'd say that there, you know, we can look at people, especially some of the most brilliant people throughout the course of human history, and to read their descriptions, you know, by their friends and everything, seem to have, you know, some spectrum tendencies. So I do think that it has always existed.
You were talking about the difficulty, 85% of marriages ending in divorce and probably not taking long to get there. You guys are way ahead of the curve. So you're speaking into mainly wives who are in this situation. What are you telling them?
So first of all, they're not crazy.
Yeah.
You are in a more challenging marriage than perhaps your peers. And that was one of the games that I played with myself. Why isn't my marriage like those around me? Why am I not having those experiences? We all know that comparison is a thief of joy. I was so focused on the challenges in my marriage that I wasn't seeing so many of the beautiful parts of my marriage. Mm. My husband, and this tends to be true for men who pursue the Lord on the spectrum, because, you know, they fall in a certain category of behavior and everything. They're very tangible people. He is a gift giver. Like if he knows that he gave me something, like he can check that box off in his mind and see, I did that. Like, I know that that thing got done, and that is an expression of love for her, to her. So, you know, I had to help these women shift their mindsets to focus on the positives within your marriage. Yes, your husband is not going to sit down with you and have the same kind of touchy-feely conversations that other women might get in their marriages. But that could come. I get that now. I didn't get it for 9-10 years. I did not get that. But what I have found, and I try to encourage them, is your husband is not a narcissist. That's a huge, huge thing, yeah, in the autism community, because people on the spectrum, you know, they tend to have fixations, right? Like they have these things that they are focused on. My husband's fixations, he has different things that he is paying attention to. Right now, his thing is his book binding and Bible rebinding. He's so good at it. It's so fun. And I love seeing his creative mind work and his mechanical mind. But now when he's working on a project, he brings that into the living room. So he's present with me and we're hanging out together, but he's still doing what's natural and what his brain needs. So I try to tell them, like, how get into their world and invite them into yours. Just, you know, do these things together. It will go a long way. It will make you feel way less alone. More than anything, I listen to them. I just like to listen to these women and hear where they're coming from. And you know, on the narcissism point, I want to be careful about how I say this. Because there are some women that I encounter who kind of self-diagnose their husbands with autism. And I just listen to them like that is not an autistic, those are not autistic behaviors. It sounds like you really are experiencing more narcissism. You need to, you know, this is more like you need to get the church involved. You know, you need to see a different type of professional. Because my husband is not a selfish person. He is not a narcissist. And any shape, form, or fashion. He genuinely loves me. He puts me first. He loves me like Christ loves the church. It is a beautiful experience, but his expressions of love are so different than what other marriages, I think, experience. And for me, I have gotten to where I actually feel really special about it. And so I try to help them find, how are you, like, how is your marriage special? How is it unique? And when we can dwell in that and live in that and find the gratitude in that with the Lord, it just multiplies. It multiplies. It grows. And you get to see your, because if you reward your husband on the spectrum with words of affirmation and with positive feedback of like, hey, you did this thing for me, it made me feel this way, thank you so much, it's gonna happen again. It'll probably happen again really soon because they, you know, they love, yeah, and they love that feeling. I see these women live in constant states of negativity because they're both so miserable with each other. They're so miserable. I'm talking, you know, I talk with women who they're 30 years deep into their marriage now, and they're hopeless. They're in it. They're surviving their marriages at this point. Their husbands don't feel like they can change. And if they are in a situation where they're with a man who is more set in his ways, that can happen. That really can happen with, you know, with men who have autism. I encourage them, like, this change is going to have to start with you. And not in a, you got to leave your home, you know, and be in rebellion to the Lord kind of way, but in an act of love and service. I lived in 1 Peter 3 for, 8 years, maybe not quite that long, but I lived there for so long about how wives are supposed to submit and serve their husbands. And that changed so much of our marriage for the better. So if you will lead him in love in that way, I would be shocked if you did not receive it back and start seeing those changes. And document the little changes, document the things that you see, and verbally, audibly, always tell them, thank you, that made me feel like this. It can feel a little daunting at first. I won't lie, there was a moment where I was like, things that you and I just perceive and understand so easily. Like, I know if I give you a cookie, that's going to make you happy, right? I don't need, like, you're not going to tell me, you don't have to express to me how amazing this cookie made you feel, right? So with my husband, I really try to express to him, you did this thing. It made me feel so good. And I know I'm repeating myself, but that is a huge part in overcoming this.
Yeah. So, Kayla, one of the main reasons I wanted to talk about it, one, because I just don't hear anybody talking about this, and I think it's something that needs to be talked about. But two, you and David have been in one of the most difficult situations. You are persevering. You're not just surviving. What you've talked about seems like a lot of work. Why stick in it and do all this stuff?
One, I fear the Lord. I fear the Lord. Truly, you know, there were moments, and again, it's a different conversation, a different story, but we both went out of our way to destroy our marriage in many, many different ways. Ultimately, when I fear the Lord, and my fear of rebelling against him was greater than my fear of staying in this marriage.
Yeah.
So there was that aspect first. I got to a place where I was like, okay, I'm not going to have partnership with my husband the way I thought I did. I'm going to have to be okay with partnership with the Lord and being in this kind of cold marriage. I got there first. Then I broke. I really did break. And I attempted leaving. Again, that fear of the Lord came back to me in a really serious way. But in that time period, I'm going to cry if I talk about this too much. In that time period, that is when my husband really sought the Lord, saw his own. This was before we learned about him being on the spectrum, but he saw his flaws. He saw the way that he had treated me. And, I'm going to cry if I talk about it. he saw what had happened, came back around and pursued me the way that the Lord pursues us. I could see it. I'll never forget. I had this moment where I was away from him and the Lord just convicted me of, I have given you the husband that you have asked me for. What are you doing here? So I came home and it has been a completely different experience ever since. A year later, we learned that he was on the spectrum. We had already made so many changes, but whenever we got that diagnosis, it made everything make sense for us. You know, it was a true validator for me, like I said, and helped him make sense of so much of his life It was a big challenge at first, but the why do this? I fear the Lord. And I have always loved my husband. That has never not been the case. He is an incredible man. He is so handsome. And I just love when it's good. When it was good, it's so good. You know, so I held on to those moments. But it's ultimately the right thing to do. We made it way too easy on ourselves as a society to get out of hard things.
Yeah.
And I have learned so much more in the bad than I did in the good.
Yeah.
So just sticking it out has been totally worth it.
You took steps to leave and ultimately begin working, and it's doesn't sound like it's just you working. He's working as well. But that created some kind of boundary. I know probably many wives listening, you know, their situation, they may not feel safe. I'm going off script here, but what would you suggest in dealing with and creating boundaries in difficult situations?
Yeah. So number one, I would not advise my situation. I left and I did not leave under the right terms. Mm-hmm. If you are physically, emotionally, mentally, like truly unsafe, some of the best counsel I got going through this process, and there will probably be a ton of people who disagree with me. If you are unsafe in those ways, there are so many resources available in your communities, you know, around you. Use those resources. But some of the best advice I received, my husband never made me feel physically unsafe. He never made me feel unsafe. He made me miserable. I want to clarify that. But I was told, hey, there's not a problem with you leaving, putting that separation between you with one, the goal of reconciliation and explaining like, hey, I have to go over here for a while until you decide to correct this behavior, until you decide to stop treating like this. That is not, I would not say that's your first go-to. That's when things are pretty extreme. Again, I am not a licensed counselor or therapist, but I can see back in seasons of my life where that would have been the right thing to do. Because keeping myself in that space was just unhealthy for me long-term.
Yeah.
So there is that option. But within your home, because we don't have children. And I know there are so many women who are doing this, like with children in the home and things like that. And setting boundaries, you have to be very clear. I will not be spoken to like this. I am not your emotional punching bag because you don't know how to properly express yourself. You need to find a journal outlet for these men. I have found to be really, really, really beneficial for their marriages because they get all their frustrations out and then they're not taking it out. Because I think one of the things that women in these marriages don't understand is that we are their safe space. We are the safe space for men men who have autism. And so that means we get the good, the bad, and the ugly because we are their only emotional processing sounding board, but they don't know how to do it well. So then we perceive it as abusive, and it can be. Like, I do not want to discredit that by any means.
Right.
But we perceive it in such negative ways, and it is. So you have to make those boundaries, you have to set those rules, and you have to stick to them. You have to stick to them. But maintaining a mindset of prayer, love, and humility. Humility was huge for me in recovering in our marriage. Just having to, you know, die to myself in this process was game changer. Kind of like I said, I lived in 1 Peter chapter 3, and knowing that like my ways, what I want, what I think a marriage should be, that is not what matters. What matters is what the Lord wants for me. And what he wants is my obedience. He wants my humility. We are not called to happiness. We are called to serve Jesus. And that is a hard pill to swallow in your house. That was a really hard pill to swallow in your marriage because we look to the other person to be our happiness, to be our safety too. Again, your husband should be your safe space. And I want to say my husband was not my safe space for so long. That can be redeemed. He is my safest person on the planet now. There's not a thing I don't tell him. There's not a feeling of insecurity that I have with him anymore at all. And he, I know that he genuinely deeply cares to hear what I'm going through. To he's a fixer. You know, men tend to be fixers. So we very often have the is this a fix it or feelings conversation. You know, we'll do that every now and then. It's more often just feelings. I never want you to fix it. I just want you to listen to me. So just, and that's those are the kinds of conversations that you have to have within your marriage.
Yeah. So you begin with talking about taking us to, as a spouse, as a wife in this situation, realizing, hey, you're not crazy. This is going on. There is a cause. You spoke to the boundaries, and you made that quote. I think, you know, Gary Thomas made that quote famous. Marriage isn't about happiness. It's about holiness, which is truth there. But then sometimes I think it can be rode out to a dangerous situation.
And absolutely. I think
you would agree. But I've been around you and David now for a couple of years, and it seems like you've found happiness. And so it can be achieved as you're pursuing holiness as well, it seems.
Yes. As a result of both partners, both of us pursuing holiness in our marriage, we ultimately found happiness with each other. And I'd like to say, you know, like before I found true happiness with David, I did get to a place of Jesus was enough. And I did have happiness there. And there was a lot of trust broken between us on both ends, and a lot of unhappiness and bitterness and resentment between us. And so it took us both pursuing Jesus first, and then we just ended up meeting and finding happiness as a result of that pursuit.
It's one of the main things that you're giving these wives and these couples is hope. Could you speak a bit to that hope?
Yeah, so I think we are a rare success story in the autism community. And in the groups that I'm in, I see so much sadness, and they use the space as a safe space to vent their frustrations, to be heard and to hear other people's stories and to be validated in what they're going through. Totally fair enough. Anytime I post in there, I try to post, I'd say 90% positive and 10% raw. So like the 90% positive is very raw as well. But like, I brag on my husband. I just show them like, this is what is capable. Like this is what's possible, you know, for your marriage, and showing them like how to incorporate his autism into their lives, you know, and to meet them in their journeys. Cause I want to show them like, we do not have it all figured out yet. Yeah. I'm not a guru in this. I just want to share my story. And since my story is one of hope and light and having achieved what seems to be the impossible in a spectrum marriage, I want to share that so that they see that it is possible.
This has been incredible. You know, I wanted to have this conversation because the topic that comes up in every parent group that I'm in, it comes up, marriage is the foundation. Our relationships are the foundation. And I think what you are speaking into, what you and David have walked through, speaks to one of the most challenging situations, because the number one issue in marriages is communication. And that's been the challenge, the uphill battle that you guys have faced. You've given us a lot of great input. What would you speak to far as a practical step that couples could take to begin to move towards this hope that you've talked about?
You know, so much of this is very difficult without community. So getting connected with, depending on, you know, your age, getting connected with a marriage that is more seasoned than yours, and they don't have to, no one has to be on the spectrum there, you know, they don't have to have the same challenges that you have faced, but getting connected with someone who has weathered storms and who you know are pursuing the Lord so that you have an example set before you, that's huge, super beneficial. Someone that doesn't mind taking your call or answering your text whenever you're going through it, whenever you're having that conflict, whatever it is, having that support system is major in trying to go through and heal your marriage. Whenever your body is physically hurt, if you have a bone that's broken, the healing process is painful. Going, getting your body healed is painful. Getting your marriage healed is painful. It is talking about things that you haven't wanted to talk about. It is feeling things that you have, that you haven't wanted to feel. I still struggle with that. When my husband and I were going through the thick of it, I would sit in my car by myself and think about the things that he would say or not say, do or not do. And I would cry about them until I didn't feel it anymore, until I didn't cry anymore, until I could think about it and it didn't affect me. Such unhealthy behavior, super unhealthy behavior. And now whenever he makes me feel a certain way or if he does something, I'm able to talk to him about it, or I have people to talk to about it first, just say, hey, am I overreacting or can I process this with you? So community, 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 community. I can't stress that enough. And finding your safe person, you know, beyond just your spouse. That's a big part of it.
Incredible. Kayla, thank you so much. And so we're going to extend this conversation, extend it to another episode, because I want you to take off the marriage hat for a bit, the ministry hat for a bit, and let's put on a marketing hat, because I want to talk about how the algorithm and social media is not necessarily a friend to our challenging marriages. Kayla, again, thank you.
Absolutely. Thank you, Jake.
You've been listening to Stand Firm Parents. Stand Firm Parents is a production of Stand Firm Ministries in partnership with LifeWord Studios, created by Jake McCandless and Brandon Harrington of Dime Collective. Again, thank you for listening, and be sure to subscribe, share, and most importantly, stand firm.